thing. I want to share something with you from the scripture and then introduce my ministry and explain the ministry that God's given to me. And we want to turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. Now, I was saved when I was 5 years old, and by saved, I mean I knew that I was a sinner. You know, five-year-olds sin. How many of you knew that already? Five-year-olds do sin. I've had seven five-year-olds, and I know that they know how to sin. And you know what? It's interesting, isn't it, to watch a little kid when they know they've crossed the line. Don't they get that look in their eye like they know? They know. Like a little puppy dog that, you know, messed on the carpet. He knows, even a dog knows. And when I was 5 years old, I knew that I had sinned, and I learned in Sunday school. And, you know, thank God for the Bible memory program. I had memorized verses like, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, I probably got a piece of candy for that. I don't know. And John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And so I learned these verses, and my dad led me to the Lord when I was five. I got baptized the following Sunday. That was on a Saturday. Got baptized on Sunday. Loved the Lord. Loved the Bible. I've always taken interest in the Bible. And when I was 17 years old, I felt like God was calling me to preach. And so I began to prepare for that. And I went down to a school for a while. I got married. I did not get a diploma, but I got married. And that's just as good, isn't it? And so some different things that God did in my life and in my wife's life, she ended up with an ear problem that she needed to have an operation. And the people up at OHSU in Oregon, they said, "Your wife needs to have this operation." And they said it was going to cost me $20,000, just a crazy amount of money. And it was an operation right next to the brain. And they said this infection in the ear could actually eat through the mastoid bone and go into the brain and cause problems in the brain. So I wanted to get that done, and I had no way to get it done. And the man I was working for, my boss at the time, he said, "Well, it's too bad you're not in the Army." He said, "When I was in the Army, they paid for all that stuff." Well, I looked at it, and even if I had gotten insurance, they wouldn't cover that. And so I looked at it, and I didn't want to go in the Army, but I talked to the Air Force. And they said they would take me, and they would pay for everything. So I went in the Air Force to take care of that surgery, and they would pay for my college. So I got to my first duty station. And the first thing I did was set up my appointment for my wife to go see the ENT. And they said, "You have to see the family doctor first." I said, "I don't want to see the family doctor. I've got all these papers from OHSU, and this is the diagnosis, and we need surgery." And they made me see the family doctor, and I explained it. And the family doctor said, "There's nothing wrong with the ear." And so I said, I want to see the ENT. I want to see the specialist. So they referred me to the specialist, and the specialist said the same thing. So there's no problem with the ear. And I said, "I don't trust you. You're military doctors. I want to talk to a civilian." And so I did. I talked to the civilian doctor. They referred me downtown to a German doctor, and the German doctor looked and said, "There's no problem with the ear." Excuse me. So I had a 6-year enlistment in the Air Force in Germany, and no need for surgery. And I don't know if they lied to me at OHSU, or they saw something wrong, or if God healed her. I don't know what happened, but I know that God burdened my heart for Germany and for the German people. And so we've been there 6 years now, and God put that burden on our heart. We have a church in Nuremberg, Germany. Have you ever heard of Nuremberg before? Do you know something about Nuremberg? What's the first thing you think of when you hear Nuremberg? Anybody?
Nazi trials.
Nazi trials. The Nazi trials were there. You know why they had the Nazi trials there? Because that was the political stronghold for Hitler. Adolf Hitler, his political party, was there. He had his rallies there. Have you ever seen pictures of Hitler and his rallies? They're almost always in Nuremberg, where you see thousands and thousands of people there. And I've been in that Colosseum and seen that place there. It's a stronghold for the devil. It's an evil place. There's wickedness all around in the city. But God has allowed us to be there working with a church that was originally planted by Pastor Mark Bachmann, missionary to Germany. And he was there for a long time. God led us there to take over that work. And we believe that our job, what God has us there to do, is to teach those people and train somebody to become the pastor there and hand that church over. And it's time for that to happen. But we need a lot of support, and we need a lot of prayer. And I can promise you that the devil has been fighting every step of the way. Have you ever felt like just somebody was trying to stop you? Have you ever had that feeling like if it can go wrong, it does go wrong? Well, that's what happens in the ministry when you're trying to work against the devil. So please, exactly what Pastor said, take those cards. And when you think of us, pray for us and pray specifically. God, keep the kids healthy. Help them to get good grades. Help them to make friends. Open doors for them to share the gospel. Stop the devil. I've been praying this, preacher. I've been praying, confuse the devil and his plans. Because, you know, he has a plan, and God has a plan. And he's not all-knowing like God is. God knows it all, but he doesn't. And he can be confused. And so I just pray, you know, God, confuse him. Don't let them know. So pray specifically for us, if you would. Acts chapter 2. Now, I want to say something else about our ministry, and that is, if you look on the card that I've given you, and in the back we have more, I do have a website, and on that website you can see our video presentation. And I think it would be great if you would just go and visit that website and look at our video presentation and see that. And our prayer letters are there. You can read those letters. So Acts chapter 2. We're going to back up here actually to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And by the way, anything you do for the Lord, you want to do with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You don't want to do it in your own power. It won't work. And even if something works, it won't be what God wanted. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? These folks did not know what God was doing, but he was trying to tell them, follow the Holy Spirit. Wait here, don't go. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And God told him to wait. Wait on me. Don't get ahead of God. Do it in his time. And so they were to wait. And then he said in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. And you know, we want to know everything, but that's okay. We don't have to know everything. God said, this is what you need to know. Wait. You don't get to know all of it. Some people think they know all of it, don't they? But it's okay to admit and say, you know, I don't know. I don't know it all. I know this. I'm supposed to stay here and wait for God. Do what God said. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Would you bow for prayer with me, please, as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so great, such a great God. And we thank you that you've been so faithful. And Lord, that you have not left us comfortless, but you have given us the seal and the promise and the earnest of the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for direction in our spiritual lives, that we don't have to wander and wonder, but Lord, you do lead us through your Spirit. And now, Lord, I sense that you are doing something here in this church, but even now in this service, Lord, I sense that you want to do something, and I believe that. And I believe, Lord, what you said in your word, that the word of God will not return void. So do pray, Lord, that you would cause people here today to be in tune to your scripture and your word. And Lord, help them to know how that you would lead them. Lord, help this church to continue to grow. Help them to walk circumspectly and be careful. Lord, help them to sense and know how they're to do what they are to do. Lord, one thing that's very clear from your word is that we are to be witnesses. And I pray that you help us to be the best witness that we can be. Lord, guide me now as I bring your word. And Lord, burden our hearts for your work. Speak to us now, please, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Bible says here that Jesus tells his disciples, you're going to wait. You're going to wait for the power. The power is going to come from the Holy Spirit. And with that power, you're going to do something. You're going to be witnesses unto me. God doesn't do things. Have you ever done something in vain? You know what that means, to do something in vain? It means you wasted your time. I don't know. Is anybody here maybe a mechanic? Have you ever done mechanic work? Anybody at all? I shouldn't talk about mechanics then. Yeah, you tried it. I gave up. Have you ever done something like this? Maybe you can identify. I have taken a motor down to the head, taken the head off, and taken so many things apart. And you put all these things back together, and you're getting ready to test it out. And when you're done, you realize there's something way down in there that I forgot to do. And it's going to take me about 3 hours to take it all back out again, to put in that thing that I forgot to do. Have you ever done anything like that? Can you identify with that? And it has the idea of doing something in vain. You just did all that work for nothing. God doesn't do that. Amen? God never does that. I do it all the time. I'll get all this preparation. This morning was a perfect example. We were ready to have a video presentation to share with you this morning. Pastor Pineda. Woo! I got it right. Nothing like San Jose. Pastor Pineda got a video player ready to go, and I have a video presentation that I prepared and had it in my suitcase and have shared it with several churches. And then this morning, for some reason, it disappeared. And so, you know, we had to do something else. Well, on one hand, you could say, well, boy, that was all in vain. You know, all that preparation was in vain. It was a waste of time. I believe God will use it. I think God does have a plan. But while you and I do things in vain, God doesn't. God does it, and he's been thinking about the whole thing. And he says, I have a plan, and he knows the end of the thing, and he knows the beginning. He knows all about it. And we get really worried, don't we? We say, oh, no, now it's all a mess. Well, God can take those broken pieces and can do something with it. And here he gives them power. Well, it's not in vain that he gives them power. He has something he wants to do with that power. When God gives you something, you should say, God, why did you give this to me? And what do you want me to do with it? God gave them power. And he did. They felt the Holy Spirit fell. Look at chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost, in verse 1, chapter 2, 1 in Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that's where we should be today. Amen. We should be in one accord. We should be on the same page. We shouldn't be fighting with one another. We should be in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus promised. Isn't that wonderful? And would to God that we would all come to church, not fighting and being upset about something or depressed or worrying, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we all just came to church every Sunday filled with the Holy Ghost? Can you imagine that? We're already expecting. We're already ready. We've been up in the morning. We've had time to pray. We've had time to read. And we come in expecting. We don't come in and say, oh, Lord, please fill my cup. I'm so empty. But we come in and say, boy, I'm just bubbling over with the goodness of God. And I can't wait to be a blessing to my preacher and to be a blessing to somebody else. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And, oh, I wish God would do this again with me, but I had to spend 2 years learning how to speak German, and I would have loved to have been able to do this. But this is what God did there. And here's what happened. Look at verse 8. Skip down to verse 8. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? You know, they weren't talking about football. They heard every man in their own tongue the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what they were doing? They were witnesses.
Yeah, amen.
Do you know where they started? Jerusalem. But it did not finish there. I hope you've read the book of Acts, but it is the Acts of the Apostles. Is what I used to think it was like an axe, you know, like you chop wood with, but it's not. It's the Acts of the Apostles. Read the book. It is an action-packed book. And they did get the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, here's what I want to say to you, and it's about missions. Okay, we're from Greater Portland Baptist Church. I am, and my family, my wife's from New Jersey. And we prepared for the ministry, and God gave us a burden to go out and preach the gospel to a far place from here. So we're missionaries, and we're doing that. And we've been on the field 6 years, and that's our ministry. That's what God's called us to do. Well, we can do that because God told us to do it here in the Bible.
Yes, amen.
Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So all the power was given to him from the Father. The Father lifted up the Son and lifted up his name above every name. And then Jesus said, "All power is given unto me." And what did he do with that authority, with that power? He sent the disciples, the apostles. He delegated the authority to them to go out and preach the word. Now, what did they do? Did they ordain other apostles that then ordained other apostles that then ordained other apostles? They did not. They did not. Contrary to Catholic doctrine, they did not do that.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They planted independent churches.
That's right.
They planted local churches.
Yeah.
And those churches then were delegated the authority. The church doesn't have the power. The church has delegated power or delegated authority. How many of you understand the police are not the law? I hope you understand that. Please understand that. Please, for the sake of our Constitution, understand that.
Amen.
The police are not the law. They must enforce the law. If the police break the law, they need to be thrown into the same jail cell that the other criminals go into. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the church is not the law.
That's right.
The church carries the law.
Amen.
And we follow out and execute what God told us to do. And we have the authority as long as we are biblical. If we are not biblical, we don't have the authority.
That's right.
Well, if we're going to be biblical, what do we have to do? Look at verse 8. We have to be witnesses in Jerusalem. We have to be witnesses in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What he's saying is you've got to start in your circle because they were in Jerusalem, right? Now, if Jesus wrote the same thing to your church and a letter, he would say, you need to be witnesses unto me in, oh man, what's the name of the town here?
Albuquerque.
Yeah, but there's a smaller town, right? Or is this Albuquerque?
This is Albuquerque.
Okay, that's easy. So you need to be witnesses in Albuquerque. And then you need to be witnesses in New Mexico. And in all the United States, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Isn't that what he said to do? That's what he would say to this church. He was writing to a church in Jerusalem, so he used Jerusalem. But if he's going to write to your church, he's going to say it like this. Now, how do you do that? Well, today we have the internet. That's kind of handy. You can put your messages out there. That's nice. But he's not talking about that. You can't establish a church on the internet. Sorry, Joel Osteen. Sorry, but you can't. If you're going to establish a church, you've got to send a preacher.
Yes. Amen.
How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, how can you do this all at the same time? Well, God developed a way, didn't he? We have missionaries. So with missionaries, we have a symbiotic relationship. That just means you have two organisms that need one another. Have you ever heard about that? Symbiotic relationships. There are creatures that require one another in order to survive. Blows the evolution theory out of the water. You just can't evolve a symbiotic relationship. But those things exist, and the church and the missionary have a symbiotic relationship. You see, the church cannot continue to have the authority that God delegated to it unless it obeys Acts 1:8. You see, the church must be a witness in more than just the local area. It must reach to the farthest part of the earth that it can. It must. And the missionary cannot go to the farthest part of the earth without the authority and the sending power of the local New Testament church.
Amen.
Are you with me? So this is Missions 101. And this is how it works. They both need one another. It's not that the church is more important than the missionary, or that the missionary is more important than the church. You can't have one without the other. You have to have both. And so God allows us to work in this way, and I hope it's clear to you. I'm munching time here. Do I have time for a question or two?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry that I'm a little scatterbrained, but I wonder if I could just take opportunity and give you a chance to ask a question, and I'll be with you, of course, after church too, but does anybody have a question about our ministry in Germany? I didn't cover a whole lot about it, but I did teach. Anybody think of a question? Can you make one up real quick? Just kind of make up a question. Yes, sir. See, that's a good thing to clarify, okay? We started out focusing on the American military. So I was an Air Force guy, and I went over there reaching the military. God gave me a burden for the German people. But, you know, in Nuremberg, boy, Hitler's got to be rolling over in his grave. You know, he wanted that Aryan nation, you know, the blonde hair, the blue eyes. That's what he wanted. There are so many foreigners in Nuremberg, you almost don't think you're in Germany. And there are areas you go, and you think you're in the Middle East. So we have a lot of Muslims, a lot of Turks, a lot of Africans. We have an Indian family in our church. What a blessing they are. When we have dinner days at the church, they bring Indian food. I mean, it's great, you know. So we're reaching out to the German-speaking people, but we also reach out to the English-speaking people, and we have Americans that come to the church. It really, brother, it reminds me of what we read here where down there in verse 9, it says Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia. It's a long list of all these different people. And they said, boy, we've got them all here together. Really, representation from every part of the earth was right there. No coincidence, because God was going to get the gospel out. The Lord is using our church in Nuremberg to reach around the world. Even though it's not a big church, I believe one day it will grow. But we are able to reach so many different people groups. So on any given Sunday, we've got Africans, a Korean lady, we've had Chinese a couple days ago, we've got a lot of Persians out of Iran, former Muslims, former Zoroaster religion people, just a mixed group. Long answer, but that's what we have. Yeah. Good question. Maybe one more question, I'll finish up here. Anybody? That was a good question.
Brother, can you mention?
Yes, sir.
How is reaching the German people, how open or not open they are.
Okay.
And also, which you spoke with me when we spoke on the phone, about just the Muslims coming in and how they're kind of just Muslim in name only.
Yes, sir.
And that's
okay.
Just an open door right there.
Right. Yeah, and you know, Pastor and I were talking this morning about propaganda. You know what propaganda is, right? We need to be very skeptical people. The Bible tells us to walk circumspectly.
Yeah.
It has the idea of looking all around and checking it out. Just don't believe it. And if you believe the news, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona that I would like to sell you. You cannot believe everything that you hear. I know there are evil people in the world. That's a given. You know what? There's evil people in America.
Yeah.
There's evil people in Iran. There's evil people in China. But you know what? They're people.
Yeah.
And there are people that are... A lot of the people in Iran and Saudi Arabia, a lot of the people, if you just sat down at their dinner table, they would invite you in and have a meal with you and just be so gracious to you and be so kind. And we have to be careful about the war makers who want us to hate everybody. You know, if you're going to fight the Germans, you got to demonize the Germans. And if you're going to, you know, the German people don't like Hitler either. And how many of us agree with everything our military has ever done? You know, how many of you ever wanted to bomb somebody's house? You didn't. Our government does things, and their governments do things. And what I have learned, and God taught me this, because I wasn't always this way. I mean, in high school, if you'd have talked to me, you'd have heard things like, let's just bomb them all, kill them all, blast them into oblivion. I don't think that way anymore, because I've gotten to know these people. And so you have these Muslims that come over, and they're just like your Catholics of your area here. How many Catholics believe everything that the Catholic Church teaches? It's hard to find one. On the airplane, on the way here, I talked with a man. I said, tell me about your faith. What do you believe? And he said, I'm Catholic. And he said, but I don't believe this, and I don't believe that, and I don't believe... He told me he excluded himself from a whole bunch of things that the Catholics teach. More biblical than any Catholic would be. So please understand that these Muslims, they need Jesus.
Amen.
And while they say they're Muslim, you got to understand what that means. Now, I get it, and I know, believe me, there are Muslims that believe that they're going to kill everybody who doesn't believe in Allah. Those guys are out there. I get it. I'm not pretending they don't exist. But please understand, that's not all of them. And there's a whole bunch of them that will tell you they're Muslim, because if they don't say they're Muslim, they will be killed. And so God has allowed us to see those Muslims come to Jesus. We've had several Muslims in our church.
Amen.
And we want to reach them. They need Jesus, don't they? The Bible says, and such were some of you.
Come on, let's go.
Right? Such were some of you. So thank God for grace. Thank God for liberty. Preacher, thank you for the time this morning.
I appreciate that.